This episode is brought to you by Libsyn. Planning to start a podcast? Look no further than Libsyn. Libsyn is one of the biggest feature-rich podcast hosting platforms in the world. Libsyn is IAB certified, offers many hosting plans, and you can start for as low as $5 a month. Aspiring podcasters who listen to the show radio can get 1 month free by using the promo code TSR. Use promo code TSR at checkout to get 1 month free.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Show Radio. This is episode 651 of The Show. I am your host, Andrew.
Hey, guys, and I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. And this episode is going to be all about the Game Awards 2023. We just finished watching it, and it was an incredible show. And I'm just going to hand it off to you, Daniela. What did you think of the show? And we can get in some of the games that we saw and we enjoyed watching the trailers of.
Oh my God. I mean, it was amazing. And for this to be the 10th year, it's crazy. I remember like where he started. I just loved how it just, I guess that's a little bit of different. I loved how it's grown and that he's kind of showing clips, you know, where it was, especially, what is it when they had Sean Murray on for, oh my goodness, No Man's Land. And I remember watching the Game Awards then, and it was like this small production, a nice little small set that had just like dev interviews and game announcements, and to where it is now, this full production award show is just amazing. And then you're just one after the other, these world premieres coming at you. It's crazy, and I loved it. And I really can't just pinpoint like one. No, wait, technically I can. But if you exclude Hideo Kojima's announcements, I mean, all the games they announced and showed, I love them all. And even some that didn't even fall within categories of genres of games that I don't necessarily gravitate to. They're just amazing announcements and presentation of them.
Yeah, I definitely agree. There's really nothing that I saw that I was like, you know what, this wasn't something I would enjoy. But I think one of the things I want to talk about, like even at the very top of this episode, is the emotion and vulnerability that we saw. And this one, I think, you know, is way more than I've seen in the past Game Awards. Or maybe I'm just paying attention to different things this year, but the fact that, you know, a lot of folks are very emotional about, you know, this event and, you know, winning the awards and, you know, talking about the hard work that, you know, they've put in to be at this spot, to get recognized for the achievement, you know, their teams and all that. What'd you think about all that? I just, you know, thought that I don't know, like a lot of that was happening tonight.
It really was. And I wish, oh my goodness, Christopher Judge was there. He presented, and we all know that last year's Game of the Award. And he even made jokes at it. His speech was 7 minutes and 59 seconds, pretty long. And I remember that being like, I love that he won, but then his speech got to the point of like, okay. And I think even our recap last year, where I was like, this is where, you know, you have the Oscars, the Globe, all of those other, you know, movie entertainment awards. They have that music to play them off. And that is something definitely new that they introduced into the Game Awards this year, was they had that. But what I felt like is that it was like they didn't give them enough time. I don't know what that sweet spot is. But I felt like when they started playing off that music, when they're giving these like really deep speeches and of being appreciated and being grateful for their fans, for their player base, for being able to announce a game that they've been working on for the last several years that they haven't been able to talk about freely. Just not enough time for some of them. I felt a little bit short, and you can tell like there was a lot of emotions there. I'm like, give them a little bit more time. Hold off. Whoever is in control of that soundboard right now, you stop it.
Yeah, it's tough, right? But my thing is like, I'm sure that they know that they have a certain amount of time, but once you get up there and you recognize like you're being rewarded for, you know, a particular category or whatever it may be, then you just, you know, you're in that moment, right? But yet you still have like a certain amount of time to get through that. I could see, you know, exactly what you're saying. It almost seems like they don't have enough time to let it out, you know, whatever that is in that particular moment. But at the same time, there's a schedule that you have to stick to because of how the production is done, right? So, but yeah, it did feel like that, especially with Alan Wake. And I mean, a lot of the ones that we saw that won an award and, you know, they were very emotional. It's like, yeah, okay, music comes on, but yet they still want to, you know, remember individuals who worked on a project. They still want to acknowledge a lot of different people. So it can get very, very tough.
It is. But the person, I guess the one game announcement and presentation that I'm very appreciative that he was given his time to do it, that I think was definitely the most impactful and emotional moments in the Game Awards was, I know I wrote his name down somewhere, but my notes are like a mess right now at the moment. But it was for the announcement of Tales of Kenzera Zhao, the gentleman who created this game for, you know, for his dad.
Yeah.
And I thought that was absolutely beautiful. So I love that he was given his time, his moment, and that was respected because you could definitely tell that he was choking up.
Yeah, he was holding it together. Yeah, yeah.
Like I thought that was beautiful, and you know, I was watching it on Twitch for this one. I know it was available on so many different platforms, but I was trying to get dropped. So
yeah.
You know, I just those things, you have to hide the chat. Like, people are toxic. I mean, I can totally understand the reference, but people were just like going Wakanda forever. I'm like, no, just let this man have his moment. Let this man announce his game. And his game looked really beautiful and fun, too. It was beautiful. Like the color scheme and the art that he had in there I thought was beautiful and great. So I'm really happy for that person. I hope really big things for him for like 2024 when his game releases.
Yeah, so my thing is like, I was watching the show, right? So, I was out and about doing like IRL stuff and I came back home. And then when I got back, you know, watching the show and seeing all the things, and I realized that I wasn't really watching it for the games anymore. It's weird.
What were you watching it for?
Like, it's almost like I was watching it for inspiration. Because so we're watching individuals create things. Well, let's just use this example. They're creating it out of nothing, right? And they're, you know, you have the independent stuff. You have the one that you mentioned, you know, that, you know, honored his dad in that particular announcement for that particular title. You have the stuff that's happening with Hello Games and that new game that they're introducing. You have the one with you have a game like Komori, you know, so it's almost like I was watching it for, you know, hearing the story and yeah, we're watching the trailers, but it's almost like I was watching it for inspiration, if that makes sense.
That totally makes sense. I get what you mean. Especially when you see, going back to, Sean Murray and, you know, he announcing his game in 2013. And I very, very much remember that interview about his excitement. And it was just originally just him. And he just had this passion for it. And he initially started it by himself, you know, at home. And like, he just had such a strong passion that he just put everything he had into this game that grew into what it is. And then you hear these stories of people just, you know, giving it their all. And then, you know, you have Hellblade, who went from this small team where almost had no marketing money to put their game out there. I believe I randomly came across it by like Facebook somehow. And I remember just like, this game looks fantastic, and trying to Google search it, and not really finding too much about it at all. I think I sent you the video if you knew anything about it. And to now, it's just like, it blew up into this huge game that people love and can't wait for number two. I'm definitely one of them. And so just seeing these people's dreams and their passion and, you know, just getting recognized, like, it's hard to not be inspired by that. It's hard to not, you know, think about your own dreams.
Right.
And making them a reality.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it was really, really good. It was, the show was really, really good. So, a couple of titles that, you know, caught our attention. I know we have some similar titles on the dock, but you first, and then we'll talk about some of the things that we saw, and then we'll end it with overall impressions of the show. So what'd you like?
Oh, that is such a hard question.
I know.
Everything that they had to talk
I know.
About Final Fantasy, like everything. I'm glad that, you know, we spoke about it in our last show about High Rush being nominated for, like, you know, 5 different categories. They did get one of them. You know, who I do miss having in the show, who I like is there, is Joseph Ferris. So they started off with that one, you know, the remake of Brothers of the Two Sons. So that was really, definitely really cool. And this might be a little bit sad, and I'm not even sure what sparked it, but the trailer for Usual June, which was a very beautifully chaotic, like, I'm not too sure what was going on 100%. I know it was a hack and slash, but then you have her, like, kind of in school, and then you're back in a hack and slash.
Right.
There was something about that character that, in my, like, the first person I thought of was Andrea. And it made me instantly sad. But at the same time, I'm like, if she, like, I could totally picture her and hear her voice.
Yeah.
Being the voice actor for this character. I don't even know if this character has this being a voice, but for some reason, Andrea was the first person that, like, just popped in my head.
Yeah, because she was all about that color palette, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah. So I could see that.
So it's like it was like a beautiful moment, but a sad moment for me too. So that definitely, I don't know, just kind of like hit me right there in the feels there, because I just thought of her, missed her, and I was like, you would have been great for this.
Yeah. Wow. Andrea. Wow.
Right.
Wow.
It's very interesting. It's just like I thought of her, and it's like, but
yeah, she was such a light. Always smiling, man. Oh my gosh.
It was an energy that she could have brought. If they have voice actors, I'm not too sure. I don't think they showed any of that. I don't think I remember them showing any of that in there. But I think she would have brought a huge amount of energy and light into that game too. She got to be a part of it. And I could totally picture her being there, being this game too.
Yeah.
Hold on. It's to talk about that one.
No, that's good, because now I'm just thinking about, like, you know, like just E3 and seeing her, and then, you know, taking pictures, and, you know, she would introduce us and make connections with, you know, she was just always, always supporting and helping. Always.
A beautiful soul.
Yeah, for sure.
But what else was there? What else? This is hard, because I want to talk about all of them, but we're going to be here for just as long as that show was.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. Okay, so we'll pick.
The second announcement, which you do have on our docket here, it was pretty cool, but I think what I
Which one?
Cool, Sega.
Oh, yeah, Sega. Oh, my gosh.
But it's not even just the games. It's how they ended that clip of the announcement of their games that just hit me in the nostalgia feels over there, how they just ended with Sega. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, that was really, really good seeing that.
Yeah. I laughed. I got a good laugh out of it. Pony Island 2, that was a really bizarre trailer. Of all of them that I was watching, I was like, what in the world is this? Like, And I know somebody's gonna be like, "You never played one," and I think I had that same feeling for one too when I went to when I like dawned on me. I'm like,
well, before you continue with that one, I just want to mention, like, for the record, right? So, Jet Set Radio, Shinobi, Golden Axe, Streets of Rage, Crazy Taxi, and more. No dates or other information was given, but this is very exciting for a longtime Sega fan. So those are the name of the titles. Well, go ahead.
Yeah. So. I want to bounce around between all of these games.
Yeah, we can bounce around. Okay, so let's.
I can't just pick one game. I really can't.
I know. We're not only gonna do one game. So here's what we're gonna do, right? So Exodus, what'd you think of that? Let's go down this list and then we'll fill in some stuff. Exodus was, to me, amazing, right? In a lot of ways, when I was checking it out, what'd you think of that?
Become a traveler. Yeah, the way that they presented it was really cool, because if I only saw the gameplay only, like, I would think it was still cool, but I'm like, oh, okay, I'll watch somebody else play it. But the whole presentation of it and everything leading up to it and the story, I was like, all right, I totally feel this. This thing has a pretty, like, it seems like it's giving a nice deep story with it. So I was like, All right, I like it. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, it was.
That was it. I think, did that thing have to sign up for a beta? That's the thing I have to go back and look now, because I know a few of them had beta signups, and I'm like, sign up here, sign up there.
Yeah. And the finals was surprisingly already, you know, available, which I thought was interesting too. What did you think about the God of War DLC? Did you?
That was cool.
Yeah, and the fact that it's free. Did you see that? As like,
yeah, I did. So okay, I thought it was coming up with a whole new installment, which would have been really cool too. But the fact that they're just like the Valhalla DLC there. First of all, I love Vikings. I'm still not off of my Viking kick here. Just announced this free DLC. And I think it's in 5 days, so it comes out on the 12th of December for free. To add on to this, that everybody loves God of War and everything that it's done, and I thought it was really amazing. I was like, happy Christmas for everybody. Well, everybody who has the game. But still, I mean, who doesn't love free? Who doesn't love free add-ons to a game that you love and enjoy?
Right.
Like, everybody. Everybody does. That's never a bad thing.
Yeah, I got excited just watching, like, of course, the trailer, you know, and God of War is just like, you know, monumental in a lot of ways. So watching that, even though I don't have, you know, the capability to play that right now, I was just like, this is really, really dope. This is really, really dope. So, yeah, so I just feel like I was just watching it as if I've never seen the show before. And I think that, you know, I know we talked about this on and offline. It's like, I really want to go back to just enjoying things for like what they are and not necessarily, you know, have a critical eye every single time. Right. With whatever it is, whether it's something I've played for a long time or, you know, something that's being introduced. You know, to me, for the first time, I know we've seen a lot of free-to-play games over the years, but even when you look at something like The Finals, right? And I think that's an interesting game I want to check out because it reminds me a lot of Monday Night Combat, if you remember that. And just the announcer, you know, type of atmosphere and the arena type of atmosphere plus the announcer gives me the Monday Night Combat vibe. So just, you know, seeing that and I'm like, wow, that's, you know, just... You know, sounds good and, you know, graphics are great. And I just want to go back to that. Right. And when you look at God of War, from what we've seen over the years, you know, it just keeps getting better and better. And then you see independent studios do other titles, which I'm not going to jump into, but I just want to stick to the God of War stuff for a second. It's just really enjoying things for what they are and just appreciating that there's titles other places, whether, you know, you have the capability to play them or not, it still can. You know, you still can be excited about it, right? And that, I guess that's why I was, you know, throughout the show.
Yeah. I think I get like that when I get really excited about something. And I don't know, when it comes to the Game Awards, like I'm pretty chill leading up to it, but then you just, when it starts with the world premieres and they're really great games, that excitement builds up and it's just kind of like being a kid all over again and just being excited for what it, there is. Like you're not, I'm not going to be the type of person that's like you said, like gonna pick at it and just like critique it. I'm going to take it in and enjoy like a gamer kind of just thinking all games are fantastic. Kind of like a naive person. It's like a naive little kid when I was little thinking that Lion King was a fun game. I don't think it is, and I still don't think it is, but having that same type of excitement and just thrill of something new and yeah, just being a fan.
Yeah, this is the biggest show in the gaming industry, especially around this time of year. There's nothing else that, compares to not just production value, which I'm not gonna even dive into, right? It's the biggest show, right? And so many things that we saw. Okay, so we mentioned Exodus. What about Komori? What'd you think of that?
Murray, I think I caught the beginning of that, which looked fantastic. I didn't get to watch the rest of it. There's only like I think two trailers because I started off watching the show at work. So that one I have to go back to. But I remember I liked the beginning of it. I got to see like the first 15 seconds. But it was enough to leave an impression on me. So I
Right.
was all like,
Exactly.
remember the name. Remember the name, we're gonna go back to it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I really enjoyed what I saw there. Like we were saying, like pretty much everything that we saw, we really dug up for the show. Then you also had, surprising to me, right? Last Sentinel. What'd you think of that one?
Ooh, that one, yes. Like I forget what the robotic mom said, like the demon is here. Demon, and then you just see like this badass come like barging through fighting, and then you just she reels as a woman. I'm like, oh, that is awesome. And then you get the pan out of the futuristic, I would assume Tokyo. Yes, please.
Yeah, so you know what was interesting about that? Like even the wording of that, right? So you have this stuff happening in that particular scene, and then you have the robot or whatever you want to call it hitting the door, and then from hitting the door, makes a hole in the door and then grabs, the mom on the other side, right? And then, getting to the point where the little girl, mommy, that whole, particular scene. And then when she made her statement, to me, it didn't make sense in the context of the statement, right? Because it's like, if destruction is happening, right? And you're saying the demon is coming, it has to be the opposite of what you're saying. Because
Yeah,
the
true.
destruction was at the door,
Yeah.
right? So my thing was like, okay, so that statement has to be the hero that's going to save, quote unquote, the town, if you want to say that, right? So I thought like even the wordplay on how they introduced that, whoever wrote that script, I thought was pretty brilliant. And just the way they presented it, not just the visuals, but the actual words that they chose, I thought was interesting.
And it's not even just the scripting, it was even like the voice actor, how they portrayed it and acted that out. Because yeah, I'm with you on that one, because you have this scene that you're still trying to figure out what is happening, like why are these robotic things coming after you, and then you think like, oh my God, you just killed this woman, and this little girl just scared and frightened, like just like running to her what you assume is a dead mom, finding out like next thing you know it's like okay the mom's robotic. But yeah, her line and of like you're okay, the demon is coming, like you don't think of, like when you think demon you automatically think something negative with it. I was like, oh, that demon looks like at your door already.
Exactly.
But it's the good guy.
Right, exactly.
You're assuming after, you know, comes through and comes and saves these people. You're like, okay, that's very interesting. It makes you want to know, what is the story behind this? What is happening? What is this Neo-Tokyo that I'm looking at here?
But there's a lot of story, though. Like, even when you look at, man, well, I don't know why my brain is doing this tonight, but let's go with it. Like, even when you look at the part where this character takes off the mask to enjoy the rain on the face. Remember that part?
Yeah.
And then puts the mask back on. I was just like, there's something like extremely stoic about that. It's almost like, you know, Gladiator at the beginning where, you know, Russell Crowe is passing his hands through like the leaves or whatever those things are at the beginning. But you think that's like, oh, that's like a serene moment. But you zoom out, they're in the middle of a war. That's where that took me when I saw that. It's like you take the mask off so the water could be on your face for a second, but you know that, you know, that's the only moment you have before you get back into, you know, chaos, right? And I just thought that was interesting. But go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but I get I did think about like just the way that she was just enjoying that just one moment of like, okay, I can catch a breath, I can breathe, I can relax for just this moment. And then she puts the mask immediately back on, and you have, you know, these people that she just saved,
right,
running out, and then you got that pan out.
Yeah, that's dope. Yeah, so I really, hopefully, you know, especially when it comes to stuff like this, right? A lot of trailers are just, you know, the CGI, whatever you want to call it. It's not really gameplay. A lot of the, well, some things we saw, they said, you know, end game, you know, this, that, and the other, which is fine. But we didn't really see anything with this one, right?
Yeah, and that's the hard part. Like, it really pulls you in with these little cinematics. So you're going to pay attention. You're going to have that on. You're like, you know, you're going to go follow the studio's YouTube page, waiting for them, follow them on X, and wait anxiously for any updates, any game trailer or something. Which is really, really great, like, you know, strategy there. Because I'm hooked. I'm invested. I'm waiting. That was a great trailer.
Yeah. It was really, really good. Really, really good. Okay, so let's go with Marvel's Blade.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
But I like that it's going to get, you know, Arkane's working on it, which they did work on Deathloop. And Deathloop did amazing, and that has a great, you know, fan base there. So to see where this goes and what they're going to be doing with Blade, especially, you know, what I thought was very interesting is that this game is going to be set in Paris. And I'm like, that's a nice, interesting little twist. That's pretty cool. Kind of am. Look, I'm interested.
Yeah.
You got me here.
Yeah.
My problem here is. They did great on Deathloop. I don't know about Redfall, though.
Yeah, Redfall is...
Right now, that means that Blade has a 50-50 chance of being great.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't fall like that title. I really hope it doesn't, because I don't even know how they can bounce back from that. I mean, well, we've seen some interesting bounce back, right? Especially when you look at what Cyberpunk 2077 has done, right?
Yeah.
And they were rewarded for that, you know, today, which is, you know, kudos to them with everything, right? But I don't know, Redfall is, they're struggling.
It's really hard.
I mean, yeah.
They had, there was some high expectations for that too, after seeing, you know, their announcement looked really good, but I believe their initial announcement was also just a cinematic. It didn't really contain actually in-game footage.
Right.
And that pulled everybody else in, and then they got it, and they're like, nope.
Yeah, I could see.
We can't put that expectation on Blade. We can't just automatically assume, like, well, you did terrible maybe not terrible, but you didn't do so well in Redfall that you're going to carry that on to Blade. That's not always the case. But you do have to have, you know, those realistic expectations for games that people sometimes really overhype things in their head, and their expectations are so ridiculous that when they get it, it can be a fantastic game, but your expectations set it so high that it didn't meet it, so now you think it's a bad game. You know, every game that I'm excited for, I have to keep that. I keep that in the back of my head, like, okay, be realistic.
Yeah, so I just want to say this, like, you know, I just have maybe one or two more titles, and then, you know, I'm pretty much going to be done, you know, in terms of, you know, what this conversation entails, right? Because the whole show was amazing. You know, if you love games and you love the celebration of games, you should spend the time to watch this Game Awards, right? I know we say that every year, you know, make the time, 2.5 hours or whatever it was, you know, almost three, right? And, you know, get your folks who love games, you know, maybe, you know, cast it on a screen or whatever you do, and definitely check it out. It was absolutely amazing, from the performances to, you know, just the presentations were good. You know, emotions were great. You know, no security mishaps, you know, from what we've seen, right? It was amazing, right? And you should watch it. So that's my call to action, to watch the Game Awards. And I have a few more titles, and then I'm going to be done. So anything that you have on your side that you want to touch on?
Fallout
looks, yeah, that looks really good.
Oh my goodness. If we can have, if the quality and, you know, the studios, both the game side and the, you know, TV show side of it, Amazon, are working together like Naughty Dog has been with, like, Sony and HBO, like, I don't know how you can possibly have a bad show.
Right.
Like, I can't. Like, what we've seen so far, screenshots and the, you know, the little teaser trailer, that show looks like it's gonna be good.
Yeah, that's definitely on my radar for sure. So yeah, Fallout. Were you surprised that they did a season 2 for Twisted Metal?
Little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
How come?
I guess when it comes to Twisted Metal, and I think about the game and just playing it and growing up with it, I don't know if that show really, like, would be how I would envision it. Not that the game really had, like, a full fleshed out story. Like, you had the different, you know, little mini stories that each of the characters had that you played through, but I don't know. I don't know. So it's great for Anthony Mackie over there, who, I feel like he was trying to get the Keanu Reeves, like, meme moment. Like, he was trying a little bit too hard for that.
Really?
Like, that's what I feel. Like, I forget which, it was a couple of E3s ago, Xbox Showcase, where, what did that one person in the audience say? You're breathtaking. I think it was. And then Keanu Reeves responded back with that. And that,
yeah,
that team, this, like, whole thing.
So you think he was trying to get, like, a moment like that?
Yeah.
A memorable, yeah.
I think he was trying a little bit too hard for that. And he's like, no, I love you. I love you. And, like, kind of working, like, trying to do some crowd work there. But I'm like,
Yeah, I think that, to me, that part is forgettable. I do agree that that ran too long. Yeah.
And you know what I find very interesting? So as the Game Awards has been, you know, evolving into what it is now, you know, people are like dressing to the tens here. They want to look good. They're wearing suits. They're wearing gowns. And I can't remember for Warframe, the two women, they had these beautiful gowns on. One was red, one was black.
Yeah.
The nice little night gloves and everything like that. So, you know, like this is getting you know, you have this envision of it being, you know, just as fancy with the red carpet as the Oscars, as the Emmys. And would be fantastic if it does, because then that means eventually, hopefully, there'll be like creators or developers or anything like that that will have like Vera Wang reaching out to them like, I want you to wear my gown to the Game Awards and take photos and all this stuff. And that would be really cool. I think that would be awesome. And like, you know, when you have, you know, the Emmys or something like that, you have the actors, they're all wearing, you know, their nice suits, their tuxes. Unless you're like, I don't know, Adam Sandler or Jim Carrey, who just wear whatever they want to the shows. But these actors that did come on were very casually dressed, except for, I think it was Timothy Chalamet and Simu Liu, who wore nice suits. But then, like, you have Jordan Peele, who came out in, like, a hoodie.
Yeah. Like, it was just dressed, you know, dressed down, pretty chill, got the Nikes and stuff like that. Yeah.
And I think that's kind of, like, it's kind of interesting, but kind of cool because, well, I don't know. It's like, I have weird mixed feelings about it. Like, it's cool. Like, you're kind of, like, letting your hair down there.
Right.
But at the same time, like, it's Game Awards. We want you to treat it just as professionally. Not that they didn't do their jobs presenting well, but even just the look-wise and the vibe that I believe that Jeff Keighley is trying to go for is this very elegant, like, we are a form of entertainment. We're a form of you know, enjoyment for a lot of people. Please, Jeff Keighley is wearing a nice little tux and suit over there. Gonzo wore a nice little tux and suit, and that's a Muppet.
Yeah. It seems like it's trending towards more, you know, dress up type of environment. But I think that because we're still having conversations about games, we're always going to see individuals who wear the suit and then maybe the sneakers with it. Or maybe jeans and then a shirt and tie, and then they'll kind of mix it up a little bit. I think we'll probably see that for a while.
Yeah, probably. But it's like it's a mixed thing. It's an evolving thing and growing. But I think it's just really cool that gamers just kind of want to have that drip on them and just like look nice, and they're out there taking pictures. Like I saw Khalif. Luckily, if he was like, he said he couldn't wear his visor. That was a pretty sick visor. Saw that Paris was he was there and he was dressed very nicely, and you know, you have all the other content creators who just like took the time like to really put together their fits, and I was like, that's really cool. It's not like gamers get a whole lot of moments like that, you know.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a beautiful thing. So I mean, the last title I'm going to talk about is going to be what Kojima announced. So do you have anything before that, before we jump on that one?
No, I'm excited about that one.
Okay, so then we'll end it on that one. So Kojima OD, Daniela, what are your thoughts on what you saw?
First of all, the fact that he was announcing a new game. Oh my goodness. I think I was in my car at that time. Yes, I was watching very, very safely. I was excited. And then immediately confused, which made me more excited.
Right.
Because when he announced Death Stranding, I don't know how many different ways that people were trying to figure out what is this game. And like they really were just going through the trailers, going through like this, like whatever information there was that was put out there and putting, trying to put together, like, what is this game he's building? What is this experience that he's talking about? And I feel for the next couple years, I don't think this game is a 2024 game. I'm assuming that it's going to be like a 2025, maybe 2026 game. I feel like that's the same thing we're going to be doing, because he gave a lot of info, but no info at all.
Right.
And the trailer, like, I still don't know what to make of that trailer. Like, there is this really interesting, like, what is happening? But there's also this slight terror or fear that's right behind it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I don't even know what to make of it.
Yeah, like, just that alone, I am sold.
Yeah, but do you pay attention to, like, his Twitter feed? Like, every other day he's watching a movie.
Yeah, his movie suggestions. There was like one, and like, I kind of want to try to find those movies that he puts out. There's this one video I watched of him. It was a lot of horror flicks that he was recommending, and a lot of them were like older movies.
Yeah.
And I love seeing what he suggests. And the fact that one of his partners that he's collaborating with for this game, OD, which I'm assuming is Overdose, is Jordan Peele, who makes amazing, especially like kind of like these thriller horror flicks. And they didn't announce who else is working on it, but it's supposed to be, it's like a game, but it's this immersible movie. And I don't know what to make of it. And I love that creative mind of him, that he's like putting this out and he's just gonna leave you guessing.
Yeah,
the thrill and excitement of it. He is going back to what I was just saying, that, you know, don't have high expectations, especially if only all you see is just a cinematic and no in-game stuff. He is possibly the only person that I don't believe he can make a bad game, even if he wanted to.
Yeah, I can see that. Because of all the things that he's watched and he's able to incorporate bits and pieces of those things. Like, even the story of, like, Metal Gear 2 or Metal Gear 1. Like, when you try to make sense of anything that they're talking about, it's like, well, we could see a lot of those things play out in real life. But at the same time, we don't even know what's going on, but we like that.
Yeah. For his games, it's amazing. And the way that he does his storytelling, the emotions that he gets you to feel, whether it be visually or through gameplay, or even the music that he chooses. Like, it's like a very full body 360 experience.
Yeah. And it's like, if you've never experienced anything, you know, that Kojima has put out, just go on YouTube and try to watch some of the cutscenes from any of the previous titles that he's put out, or even as recent as Death Stranding or even Metal Gear 5. You're going to be like, what is going on and why is this so good? Right. And I mean, that's what he does.
Yeah. And I definitely think it has to do with just his own personal interest in things. And like, he loves music. He loves stories. He loves movies. And then he's just taking the stuff that he loves and then he's putting it into this craft that he's mastered of game development.
Yeah.
Incredibly talented man.
Absolutely. But yeah, so I'm definitely excited for that. I thought the show was absolutely amazing. There's really nothing that I could see about the show and be like, you know, at this point, it's just going to be nitpicking for no reason at all. I think that Jeff Keighley does a great job, and we've witnessed that, you know, today. Another another banger, another dope show. Any final thoughts from you from the show?
I think everybody collectively would agree that of the Game Awards Orchestra, the man playing the flute is everybody's favorite.
Yeah. He definitely upgraded this time. He had the big flute.
He went through like three different instruments. I was like, this man is evolving before our eyes. And even if that's a flute, I don't know. Somebody just told me it was forget what kind of flute they said it was, but
more like a what they call a wind instrument flute. Instead.
It's a contrabass flute, I believe somebody said it was to me. Like, he started off with a little flute. And even when he was, like, doing there and he was sitting down, he still has some energy. He was feeling it. And then he just got up with that huge flute I've never seen
before. I love it. I thought it was dope.
I was like, I think collectively, ending the show, and everybody was like, that dude's my favorite right there.
Yeah, it was really good. I enjoyed everything. I'm trying to see if there's any I don't know. I guess for me, the main takeaway would be like, really check it out and just enjoy, you know, everything about this. This is like the biggest show. They're already planning for next year. I believe they mentioned December 12th next year, 2024 for the Game Awards. And, you know, we get to watch and experience something like this, you know, worldwide, wherever you are. You know, any platform. You said you watched it on Twitch. I watched it on YouTube, and it was really, really dope. I enjoyed everything about it.
Oh, and to end, of course, the game that I've been waiting forever for, Skull and Bones, finally has a release date.
Yeah,
with February 16th of 2024. So I am personally excited for that. I love pirates as much as I love Vikings. So, and I feel like I've been waiting. I don't know how many years now, six,
nine, it's been nine, a minute.
So yeah, that's definitely on there. And yeah, you should definitely go watch it. It's on everything. Go watch it on YouTube, go watch it wherever. It was also on Twitter X. I gotta stop calling it Twitter, but it was on X as well too. It didn't have as big of an audience. It's a decent size, but I think it was like almost like, I think I saw it peak out at like 17,000 viewers.
17,000 is a lot of people.
It is, but if you look at it, I don't know what YouTube was, but on Twitch it was 375,000.
On YouTube it was like 850k at some point.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I will say my only gripe, which wasn't, it was tied with the show, but it wasn't on the show. So they're giving away the Steam Deck OLEDs and the Lenovo Go.
Yep.
I don't know who was able to claim any of those things, because from the start of the show, I was trying. I got put into a wait list and it said 4 hours. And I'm like, well, it's a long show. I'll get in there. No, I never
did. Nope. Never got in there either. Yeah.
And then I think the other one was that was the Lenovo one. It kept saying on the Gleam, I believe they were using Gleam. It's under temporary maintenance. Refresh in a couple minutes.
Yeah.
That never worked. So I was like, for the OLED, the Steam Deck one, yeah, I was in a digital wait list there.
Yeah, he might have to address that. I don't know, like, what that would look like. But, yeah, I clicked on a website. I think one of them was TGASteamDeck.com, and the other one was, like, Lenovo Go, TGALenovoGo.com or something like that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I went to the Steam Deck one, and, yeah, it was no bueno. Couldn't even see anything, you know. It did the waitlist thing, like you said, and that was it. I was like, well, that's not happening.
Nope. But I thought, like, oh, 4 hours. I'll get in there. Maybe people will get tired and exit out and make the line shrink.
Right.
No, I think that thing crashed. I don't think Gleam was expecting it to. I don't think Jeff Keighley thought it was going to. Like, hey, a lot of people are probably going to be interested in this. Glee and Fry are like, we can handle it. I don't think you understand, buddy.
Right.
Around the world, people are trying to get one of these 100 of each of these handhelds.
Yeah, that thing was shut down, man. But whether it was the 17K on X or the 850K on YouTube, that thing got shut down pretty quick.
Yeah, wherever you guys are watching. But hey, if you happen to get your, get in, be able to sign up for those things and do whatever Gleam asks you to do, do the follows and likes and all that stuff, I hope you were lucky enough to get it. And as always, I hope no bots got it.
Right.
That's also the thing. Exactly. You have like the many hundreds of thousands of gamers, real actual gamers trying to get it. And then you have those that are cheating. You're like, I'm going to create a bot that's going to go and get me one.
Yeah, I mean, that's always going to be a thing. So I know when you try to use different websites to try to like minimize those things. But I know he should address that took place. You know, they're going to debrief and that has to come up in a meeting. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And if there's another thing that happens with that, or there's probably going to be a conversation about it either tomorrow, because he usually does the Twitter spaces or X, right? What did you guys think about the show? So that conversation is either going to happen tomorrow or it's going to happen early next week. Maybe like a Tuesday or Wednesday or something like that. So, you know, we'll see what comes out of that.
That has to be probably my only gripe.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, it was dope. You know, it was a great show. I enjoyed myself. And I thought that, you know, I was inspired by a lot of things that I saw, just to, you know, keep grinding and doing, you know, what you're passionate about, and, you know, share it with the world and monetize it if you can, you know, all those things. And I really think the show provided a lot of insight on not just their experiences and what they're going through, but, you know, just what we're, you know, striving to be in all the different areas that we're working on too. So I really enjoyed it for that.
Yeah, the same here. I mean, it was just a wonderful production. I mean, Jeff Keighley always puts on a great show, has amazing guests, and The wording for each of the categories, I feel, goes a little bit quickly. I want to know, what's the deciding factor about which one gets presented on stage and which one's like, we're just going to quickly zip through these? I want to know how they decide that.
I mean, I think that's definitely would be a question for, because I know he does those X streams. If you're able to jump on those, I know they usually do them at, you know, the hours don't match, especially where you are. But yeah, I've always been curious about that too, but not so much to get the answer. But it's like, is it because the category has more people than other folks, which that's not necessarily true, because it seems like all the categories have at least four or five. So I don't think that logic would apply there, but that's definitely a great question.
We'll see. Do I ever get that answer? If I do,
I'm
sure to hear it.
Yeah, for sure. No, it was a dope show. TGA 2023. I really loved everything about it. And that is our show for the show radio for the Game Awards. I really enjoyed myself. Daniela, final thoughts, and where can they find you?
I can't wait till next year. Yeah. One of the days, Game Awards, being able to send live is definitely still on my bucket list. If it wasn't just so close to my son's birthday. Then if I take him, like, we're going to the Game Awards, he's like, this isn't a birthday gift for me, it's a birthday gift for you.
Right.
He likes games, but he's not like that. He wouldn't be down for the Game Awards at all. You want me to sit here for how long? But yeah, that was a great show, as always. And I can't wait for next year to see where he takes it again. But you can find me on all my socials at Miss DJM. And Andrew, where can they find you?
You can find me at Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A. And until next time.
Bye, guys.